This is the High Spot Podcast. I'm Jeff Martin alongside my tag team partner, Brian Berga. Brian, how you doing? It's hockey season. Not just hockey season, playoff season's in the air. And yes, we will talk about hockey on this episode tonight. Brian, how's everything going? Still not WrestleMania hangover?
I'm still hungover, to be honest with you. I'm more NXT hungover. Jeff and I were just, before we did this, watching NXT on the network.
How great is it?
It's good. It makes us relive our youth again. It makes us enjoy the craft and the artistry, as me and Jeff like to describe it, about professional wrestling, not sports entertainment.
Episode 10. People would have said we would have failed after one. People said, you guys stink after two. But then that email that I got from our buddy John Canton saying, I will do your show. I will come on. I will be your honorary guest. So we've come a long way after 10 episodes, and hopefully this one's better than the first one, and then maybe the 20th is better than this one. But lots to talk about. So, I mean, it's funny. We were talking beforehand about all the stuff we're going to talk about, and then we shred it apart because we really want to focus on the hockey playoffs, and it is underway. But then the whole Aaron Hernandez thing, I get a text from Brian saying that the jury has made a decision. And I'm like, okay. And here's, after seeing the whole trial and everything go on, I'm thinking there is a chance that he might be found not guilty just because he found no murder weapon. And just seems like, you know, there's just not enough to convict him. But Brian texts me and says, hey, on all counts, he was convicted guilty. And they laid down the law of the jury, and now the one thing I end up asking myself, Bri, is just, man, why throw it all away like that? Why? You were 23 years old when you got arrested, okay? Now he's 25. And I just start to wonder, why? Why would you risk your whole future? You know, not just the marijuana, but why just after, you know, obviously he's a great football player, okay? But to just throw it all away like that, and of course the conviction was life in prison without the possibility of parole, and he still faces two more double homicide charges in two other events. It's just crazy. I just scratched my head, and I'm like, where did it go wrong for Aaron Hernandez? Like, it's just, wow. And you feel for the families and the victims, because they are truly the victims here. And Aaron Hernandez, just shaking my head at.
But moving away from that, and I guess we could say we're sticking to the NFL here. Before you know it now, you know, that part of somebody's life and chapter is done. But the chapter of individuals that are coming out of college now has just begun, a new life per se. And a lot of that has to do with the NFL draft coming up. Believe it or not, folks, the NFL draft is actually coming up pretty soon. It's not going to be held in New York City, like Jeff and I once assumed it was going to be, because it's been held so many years in there. You just kind of assume that. It's going to be held in the windy city of Chicago, Illinois. No?
No, you're right. You're right. No, I'm just recalling the fact where I thought it was in New York City as well. It's been there like the whole time. But yeah, no.
That was something in the way I said Chicago, Illinois, that was funny to you.
No. I thought you were going to like make a reference to, you know, Chicago and, you know, the city of brotherly love, or make that kind of like funny quirk. But like,
I thought Philadelphia was the city.
No, I know. I thought you were.
Oh, okay.
But that definitely will be cut out. Anyways.
No, you got to keep that in there. But anyways, it's exciting, though. The draft's coming up.
Yeah, I'm just lost in your explanation between, you know, the chapter of life beginning, and I was so just mesmerized and had me in deep thought of what you were trying to talk about, the meaning of your...
It's good segues. It's not really easy to move from a topic like that to a new one, but we try our best here, folks, on the High Spot.
Only Brian can do such a thing like that, and well done.
Not even scripted either.
But the question is going to be Mariota and Winston, and you hear a lot of stuff, and we're almost now 2 weeks till the draft, and my God, can he get here anymore? I'm telling you, it is overrated yet anticipated, because, you know, it's guys going to prospective teams, right? And every fan wants a certain guy on their team, and, you know, it is what it is. But the thing has gotten so out of proportion on a draft where you're picking players that you're not going to know anything about until 4 or 5 years down the road, if you're lucky. And, again, it's just, wow, like, really, now the clock is 2 weeks away, and you're wondering, wow, I mean, like, how long? And Brian, I'm dying here, and help me out here. No, it just takes too long for this draft to
happen. Well, it takes too long, Jeff, and something that I've always brought up to you and I always thought was really interesting, and I would bring it up to other people, is the time of day now, we have the internet, right? Back then, we had to dial up on AOL, that stinking, you know, welcome, you've got mail, and if you had a phone call, you'd get dialed off. And back then, we didn't. You basically read through newspapers and statistics like that. There's always a combine, but we have so much technology now, Jeff, and so much available to us with, you know, with specials like Sports Science Now, which kind of put everything into numbers. But even with all that,
analytics,
analytics, exactly. Even with all of that, it still is not an exact science, and you're still taking a chance. In my opinion, I'm not saying the eye test, like some people would say the eye test of looking at somebody and seeing what they're doing, but just trusting your gut. And I know that sounds corny and it's old-fashioned, but I truly believe in something like that, especially when Jeff and I used to play fantasy football. Oh, my God, this guy would constantly be coming. Oh, who do I pick? Oh, this guy, he has a better record on grass. They're playing in a dome. The wind's 15 miles per hour. You know, they're playing against this defense or this quarterback. You know, sometimes you have to think this player is going to be the right player. And all the numbers, all the statistics, all the measurements, all that stuff gets thrown out the window, because at the end of the day, it's about what fits, in my opinion, your philosophy. If what manner you want to run your organization, that depends on the player you're going
to
pick.
Yeah, and some people tend to overthink it. Some people tend not to, and those are the people that are more successful. But, you know, the draft is coming along. And, again, we will find out where our favorite players will be destined to go. So you have to worry about the Jets. Giants pick high this year, too. So it's a good thing and not a bad thing either. But, again, very interested. And I can't wait.
I can't wait to see how Jerry Reese messes this draft up. But you look at all the drafts he's had.
Odell Beckham Jr., he messed up?
Well, you're counting that one guy. I love how Jeff constantly keeps throwing that at me.
I'm just defending the guy.
No, because you used to throw Odell Beckham Jr. in my face because you were like, oh, poor Jeff. Poor Jeff. Oh, my Jets don't have anybody. You got Brandon Marshall now.
But we didn't draft Brandon Marshall.
Who cares? You have him for 3 years, then you have the ability to get somebody else in the draft this year that's a good wide receiver.
Well, we still have to select somebody. You selected somebody. It's not on Odell Beckham. It's not on Odell Beckham.
Nah. This is just you trying to play the victim and saying, oh, poor, you know, poor Giants. Nah, you look at all the draft picks the Giants have had right now. Odell Beckham Jr., his rookie year, great. Let's see what he does in the next 2 years if he can stay healthy and be on the field.
Okay, Brian doesn't want to believe in Odell Beckham. Fine. You have to, you know.
When did I say I didn't believe in Odell Beckham?
Look at it. Guy, people, listen. Are you listening to this guy? This guy is so hard to please, and it's going to take more than 1 year to please you. That's fine.
I'm getting this from a Jet fan, so hard to please. Look at the talent roster you have. Granted, you have no quarterback, and yet you're still complaining.
Yeah, no quarterback.
Oh, yeah. So you know, we'll trade you Odell Beckham Jr., and then you can be happy and shut up and stop complaining to me.
It's not even about that.
It is.
No, it's not even about that. I'm just giving you an example. I'm trying to defend Jerry Reese, and I brought up Odell Beckham because it's recently. But he had
Give me number two. Give me a second draft pick that was ended up being a really high pick.
Okay, how about Ahmad Bradshaw? How about him?
Where is he now?
Well, didn't they win a Super Bowl with Ahmad Bradshaw?
Okay, but I'm saying, where is he now? He's at the tail end of his career.
What, is he going to play forever?
No, I'm not saying he's going to play forever, but yeah, he was for two Super Bowls, and that was it.
Wow, okay, fine. Hey, look, I'm not gonna defend Jerry Reese for all of his drafts. Yes, the last couple, you know, have been bad, but yeah, he's coming off a good draft last year, in my opinion, so we'll see what he does. So I think your statement of how does he mess it up, yeah, you could say that, but I'm going to think on the positive note for your team, and I'm going to say that he won't mess it
up. So how is it that you think the positive notes for my teams, but you can be very negative on your own teams? And yet, if I try to defend them, you look at me the same way I'm looking at you.
There's nothing to defend about the team. How are you going to try to defend the New York Jets?
Are you telling me all the moves they made right now? We're not even talking about draft.
Brian, let's you know, before we get into this debate, let's be honest. You don't know what it's like to be a fan of those kind of teams. So you don't know. You don't see it from my perspective. You don't see it from my perspective.
And you don't see it from my perspective of a Giant fan. And you never will either.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like,
you're just saying, you're, here's the thing that confuses me, is that you're saying to me that I'll never understand what it's like to be a Jet fan and go through all that misery and heartache and pain, yada, yada, yada. Same thing as a Mets fan, right? Because I was a Yankee and Giant fan. But yet, when I can criticize my team, and they've had success, they've won 2 Super Bowls, I've seen them win, you've mentioned guys like Ahmad Bradshaw, you know, if you could pick a 3rd or 4th one, God bless you. They have been good draft picks, but they haven't lasted. They haven't stayed on the team for a very long time.
But
they haven't
been foundations. A running back is like 4 to 6 years.
Okay, well, I'm not talking about running back, I'm talking about other positions. And because your team has dealt with so many trials of GMs that are so incompetent, just because I've never been in that situation, I can't critique or criticize my own team. Because
you were in diapers the last time the Giants were incompetent, and you don't remember that, but you know there was they faced worse times than they are facing now. At least you got 2 Super Bowls in the last 10 years, and I just think that all Giants and Yankee fans just nitpick. I mean, there's a funny thing I was listening to before. People are complaining about the Yankees, who only have 85 wins, and oh, they're bad. Oh, they only had 80-something odd wins last year. Oh my God, it's horrible. Hey, but do you know what it's like to be a Met fan who hasn't won 85 games in like 10 years?
So you're saying that because nobody compares to the negativity that you have, that you can't give it to somebody else because yours is such a high degree of negativity, such a high degree of hardship that it doesn't matter for anybody because they can't measure to those standards. Nobody told you to be a Jet fan.
No one did. So I chose to be it.
You chose to be it, just like I chose to be a Yankee fan. I chose to be a Giant fan. Granted, we've had success, more success than your teams, but still at the same time, I can't stand here and say, well, just because you've had so much misery, you know, yeah, I have no validity whatsoever. No, it's not. It doesn't work that way.
It just bothers me because you know what? I'll give it to Brian. Brian's not as irrational and just
sometimes Jeff thinks
like
I am.
Some Yankee, Ranger, and Giants fans who think, you know, whatever, you know.
The sun rises and sets on
exactly,
that.
Exactly, that's what I was trying to say, thank you. Mm-hmm. And again, those people you see on Facebook, that the second game of the season, the season's over and things like that, I mean, come on. I mean, it just bothers the heck out of me. So I will say, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt because I know you're a smart fan, so I understand your criticism. I'm just defending here Jerry Reese. I'm not really trying to get into that debate with you about my team being bad and you nitpicking about your team being... I'm just trying to defend Jerry Reese to a point. Hey, the man has had bad drafts, okay? But he's had good drafts, too.
I guess that's the point I was making. Okay. Maybe we got taken out of context.
And
okay.
If we're going into... And your statement that... You know, hit a nerve with me, was saying that, oh, how he can mess this one up, when I think last year he had a pretty good draft. So there we go. And we've made amends here, and you see I've extended the hand of friendship to Brian here today because, again, I'm trying to get through a show with no arguments. I'm trying to get through a show where we can move along and give you guys all the information you want and not stay stuck on this, oh, you know, it sucks to be a Jeff fan. You have no idea. Because I'm not going to cry. I understand. I chose to be a fan of my teams. You luckily were blessed that you loved the Giants blue and red, and that's fine. And the only team we agree on is the Devils, and that's fine. And again, I root for the Giants, and I know somewhere down deep you hope my Jets win a Super Bowl one day.
Oh, stop it.
So, but again, my debate is I'm trying to defend Jerry Reese, and as we head into the draft, I guess the main thing is Winston and Mariota, and now the Bucks are saying how Mariota's on, you know, the number one pick, and then you see other reports where Winston is the clear-cut number one. So again, like you're saying, it's just the media. It's just every social aspect, Twitter and Facebook and all these different media coverages got you thinking, okay, well, this is one thing, but then somebody else says that's that. And I think it's too much time between the draft and the combine. It just, it's horrible. Like, the draft was like 50 years ago, and we're still waiting for the draft to happen.
That proves the point. There is no such thing as an off season in any sport.
And the
never
NFL
is
geniuses because we're still talking about this draft, like, you know, and that's what they want us to do. And you know what?
And the thing is, they want us to think the fact, as much as people want to throw out, you know, the numbers and the hearsays of what this person said, when that person said that Mariota might be number one, or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're not interested in Winston, no, because they don't want to deal with his off-field antics, or whatever
the
case might be.
Isn't high on Winston because of his off-field issues.
But we're not buying it. It's all shadow games. They're all playing their poker face. I mean, if you ask anybody, I'm sure 99 out of 100, and that 1%, you're probably, you know, smacking across the head. How could you not pick Jameis Winston as number one for Tampa Bay?
If Winston does fall, okay, to number 6, I would be concerned because there has to be a red flag there because there's no way he would fall to number 6 regularly on just a regular year. So I would really question, wow, somebody knows stuff that we don't know. And
if that happens, you're completely right. But I just don't see that happening in this draft. I do not see him dropping that far. Maybe two, maybe three, but 4, 5, and 6, if that happens, you're right. That's a huge red flag. And I think a lot of this draft, you know, we'll talk about the numbers. We've dove into those in certain shows, but a lot of this has to do with character, in my opinion. And I'll beat it into the ground like I always do with everything I do, especially when we talked about the Jets and Giants. I'll beat it into the ground. It's about the kind of character you want on your team, because you want this player, which is a first-round pick. This isn't a sixth or seventh-round pick. You know, this is a first-round pick who you want to be whatever position, your franchise player for years to come. And you want to make sure you pick the right person.
And I think by
that
this
puts point, unnecessary pressure on people.
I think by this point now, you kind of know who you're going to pick.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, there are some teams that will wait till the final moment. But I think right now you're in the war rooms. You're making your final decisions. You're finishing up your board, although I think most boards are done.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have chosen
their
player.
And I think they know who it is. Now, all you do is the draft day is you weigh out your trade options. And, you know, when you're on the clock, you see what's out there, and then you go with it. But a lot of stuff, though, can happen, though, in this draft. So I'm excited just to the fact that I don't know what's going to happen as far as we think Mariota and Winston are the clear one and twos. But after you get to Tennessee, you know what they're going to do. Tennessee, again, unenviable position where, hey, they can take Mariota or they can go Leonard Williams or they could trade the pick and get a ransom for a team that wants Mariota. If he's not chosen number one, a lot of stuff can happen. And Tennessee, I think, kind of holds the key to see the trickle down of who gets selected where. And here's a funny thing too, getting back in the Giants. And of course, we're going to look at the other teams soon. We will preview the draft next week, get more in depth. But you know, how about this? If Amari Cooper falls to number 9.
Oh my God. Giants. I would jump on that one.
What do you do? Do you take best available?
You have to take it best available. Their offensive line has struggled. We've seen it in the last two seasons that happening, where that offensive line has not been the same. And I guess they've converted to a new offensive scheme where they're not really running the ball anymore. It's more Eli throwing it, which I think,
hey,
I don't think that's
drop and then
Think is his best quality throwing the ball. He's always great when he has a good running game behind him. But anyway, that being said, you have to pick the best talented player on there. I mean, to trade him in for a very highly sought out lineman that, you know, you desperately need. They need offense. They need playmakers.
So what would you do? What would you do?
If I was them,
Brandon Scherff or Amari Cooper, right?
That's
there.
Such a difficult name for me to say, Brandon Scherff. Before now, like now, so I can say it with no problem, right? But a couple of months ago, I couldn't say it. But yeah, I would say right now, Brandon Scherff. But if he's there, Amari Cooper, I can't.
Hey, you can always get a second in the second round and get a lineman there.
I can't sacrifice because you can never ever. Think you would see that type of talent in terms of wide receiver round.
And that's why it's so interesting what's going to happen in number two. Mm. Number two and three, it's going to be really interesting to see what Jacksonville and Tennessee
do. What are your thoughts on like teams that, you know, I remember the Houston Texans, they already signed their player when this whole Reggie Bush situation.
Oh, when they signed.
When they already signed their player, they said that our first pick's going to be this. Now all the attention is on the second pick. Do you think if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did that, it would kind of maybe level the playing field? Do you like teams that do that, or do you think you want to leave the anticipation there?
In Mario Williams' choice as number one, I think they wanted to get it done because they weren't going to trade the pick. I don't think there was really that much of a, interest in a lot of teams about moving up to number one. But if you're Tampa Bay, you hold your pick close to your pocket and your chest because you don't want to give away. A lot can happen. There's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks, and if you can get, you know, a king's ransom for that number one pick or number two pick, you might have to think about it. That's why I wouldn't be so quick to sign my player, because you know he's going to be there. If that's the guy you want, you know he's going to go to you. Unless you really love the guy in Tampa Bay, I think they're going to hold their cards close to their chest.
What do you think about this draft pool? This draft. In terms of talent,
man,
we've had drafts before. Where it's very quarterback driven. Many years ago, it was all running backs.
Hey, if you need a pass rusher, this is the
draft to
pick draft him. To get him. Mm-hmm. Vic Beasley, Shane Ray, Randy Gregory, just a bunch of defensive ends and outside linebackers. That just if you need a team, and that's why to me, I'm the Jets. I wanted a offensive guy. I'm really looking at Kevin White, and I'm looking at Amari Cooper if he falls down to them. But then,
you really like Kevin White, don't you?
I like Kevin White. Again, listen, I'm not a scout. I'm going by what I see on the highlights and how we did in the combine. I don't see the film that these guys watch film on, but very impressive. And there's and again, maybe the Jets are like, listen, we can find a guy like Kevin White lower down. They have this receiver Perryman from Central Florida who had the fastest 40 in the whole draft, broke Chris Johnson's combine record. So there's a lot of interesting people wide receiver, but if you need a defensive end, if you need a defensive player, this is the draft to get him at. And wide receiver is still, you have a rich wide receiver draft, and also running backs. I think there's going to be unlike previous years, I think there's going to be two running backs selected in the first round as compared to like second, third, and fourth rounds.
So many questions remain unanswered, folks. Less than 2 weeks away, the NFL draft will be live on the NFL Network and all sports subscribers, ESPN.
I'm sure we'll cover it somehow. But, Brian, what...
should be there live.
What we started out doing...
doing Radio Row.
...was talking about the NHL, and playoffs are here. And you feel it in the air, and you're like, wow, the playoffs are here. So you know the start of summer and that season's coming up, but... in the NHL, we have tons and tons of stuff to cover, but again, it's focusedly on here in the local teams. It's the Rangers and Islanders, and hopefully they somehow meet in the second round, and that'll be probably epic around here in the city. But your main story going into the playoffs this year would be what? What is the main subplot that you're looking at this year?
To really look at the playoffs right now in general, would probably be the only thing that intrigues me is there isn't, in my opinion, really decisive team that, you know, this is the team. Well, despite the Rangers, I'm excluding them. They're the President's Trophy winners. They're built to win the cup now.
I give them credit.
It's go or broke, and they have several years because they've signed a lot of their free agents and unrestricted free agents. Have a lot of talent in the minor leagues.
Speed.
And Henrik Lundqvist is, you know, people joked about it, you know, and you can joke about it now because he's healthy. But basically that injury he had where the puck hit him in the throat and he was out for several weeks, and hands off to Cam Talbot.
And then you have Cam Talbot who picks it up, and Rangers just don't miss a beat.
But Henrik looks refreshed. He looks in form. He looks focused and ready to go. And that's why you could ask if your goaltender to be healthy and refreshed come playoff time, because it's such a grueling second part of the season. But yeah, despite the Rangers, there's no clear-cut team out there that I think it can really pee for them. In my opinion, honestly, it's the Rangers to lose.
It's the Rangers, yeah. It's their year. I mean, they just played well all year, consistent. That Talbot coming in for Lundqvist, you know what I think that did? I think it showed them, hey, listen, having Lundqvist is great, but we can win without Lundqvist in there. It's on us, and I think that was great for them to be able to prove that for that month or so that Lundqvist is gone, and you put him in there, and Talbot can back him up, and then you just have Zuccarello and the Haglins, and then you have Kreider. It's just, they have an embarrassment of riches up front, and then Nash is playing really well, had a big bounce back year this year, and the Rangers are just deep. They're deep, and I think they're going to give the Penguins a boat whooping. You know, I don't think this is the vintage Penguins, and I think this will be a quick first round for the Rangers, and they get rested up and maybe hopefully around the city play the Islanders.
And one more thing about the Rangers, I mean, that would be a great series for New York to see the Islanders and Rangers renew that long historic history that those two organizations have against one another. But like you said, the Rangers, they're deep in talent, they're deep in line. I mean, this is the first time I can remember in a really long time, one of two things. The star players are playing like star players. Like a Rick Nash, he's being a star player. How many times have the Rangers in the past with Glenn Sather have had dealt with issues where they have not had, they've bought talent, and the talent never showed up. They just collected the paycheck, and then that was it. And
the best thing that happened for the Rangers is the salary cap, because
exactly,
they were able to spend money wisely.
Best thing that could have happened to them. And more importantly than that, they have, despite last year when they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals against the Los Angeles Kings, this is the first time I've seen the Rangers have four lines.
Oh, and seriously, center depth, too.
And center
Dominic
depth.
Moore.
They can play all four lines all series, yeah, and keeps them refreshed and keeps them having that speed like you talked about.
Yeah, and
again, not a lot of teams can compete against.
It's amazing. It's a great roster.
So it's the Rangers to lose. I would still think the Blackhawks is still a good favorite of mine. They had Patrick Kane come back. They stole one, I think, the yesterday or the day before that in the first game they had of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm saying the Blackhawks, if L.A. had gone in, I would have thought L.A. would be a dangerous team because they're the kind of team that can just flip the switch and they're going. But right now I have to say the Rangers are number one. Chicago, I like. If Chicago can't beat Nashville, I would think Nashville's a team right now.
You got to worry about their goaltending, though, because... Yeah. Again, that's what's shaky. And the two times the Rangers played the Blackhawks this year, I'm not saying that the regular season means anything, but the Rangers kind of pretty much handled the Blackhawks, and they actually even won on the road in Chicago and beat the Blackhawks. So I think this is just the Rangers' year. I don't think there's an LA Kings team out there. Maybe the Anaheim Ducks, maybe because they are the number one team over there. Maybe they have a chance, but I just don't think they're as physical and as tough as the Rangers are. Plus, they have the experience. The Rangers have had a whole season to just sit there and be think of what could have been, and I think this team is just equipped to win the Stanley Cup. And as much as I don't want to say it, but I think you're looking at the Stanley Cup champions. And a question to you is going to be that I'm going to pose to you is: everyone loves the NHL around this time. Everyone gets Cup crazy. Why do you think it's such a postseason sport compared to regular season sport?
Well, I don't think it's just for the NHL. Specifically the NHL, it's more
NHL
intense.
And NBA. And it definitely you can say those about those two sports.
Yeah, I mean, and like I've mentioned you before too, like I'm not a huge fan of baseball, but I think when baseball reaches postseason, any sport that reaches postseason after a very long season, it becomes more exciting because so much more is on the line. Not to say that the regular season doesn't mean too much, but you play for positioning and standings, but for the NHL, it's a grind. It's not as wide open anymore. I mean, God knows that Gary Bettman is trying to make this league more offensive sound, trying to make the get more goals and trying to diminish defense.
Oh, but this is here. This is.
But
like
when it comes to playoff time,
you protect it.
Yeah, it's one goal you protect. You play old school, like I call it, old school, and you protect those leads, and it's grind out. It's double, triple overtime.
And you see the beards, and you see the sweat, you see the missing teeth, you see them on the benches, just, you know, dissecting every play and catching their breath because 10 seconds later they got to get back on to be double shifted. That's what playoff hockey is about. That's what it is. The 1-0
determination, that drive, that sacrifice, that literally for that 30 seconds you give it everything you have and you go on the bench and you're panting, you're sacrificing your body, you're diving in front of pucks.
Oh yeah, exactly.
You're going in the corner. You're battling for position. You're crashing the net and you're dealing with people just shoving, you know, sticks in your face and banging
it
back in the head.
How about that PK Subban slash? You think it was worth?
It's a dirty. I've said it time and time again. I think he's a dirty player. He plays with an edge to him, like a lot of people say in hockey. What edge means, folks, is he plays with a certain sense
of
aggression.
He was going to suspend the game.
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't think they're going to suspend the game. They'll take the fact that they gave him a game misconduct and took him out of the game as that's kind of your suspension. So what's the point of suspending you in the game, which makes no sense.
Well, again, my thing is, I think the guy in Ottawa got hurt. I think he got his broken
He broke
wrist.
His wrist.
So I think as many games that he misses, you should miss too. I mean, that is just blatant. I mean, you can see him swipe the stick there. And, of course, that's, again, another great series, Montreal and Ottawa. So, I mean, just great.
Whenever you have two Canadian teams in there, especially Vancouver and Calgary, that's
exactly,
been a pretty good
that's
game.
Great. That, exactly. And Calgary has a 1-0 lead in that series. Mm-hmm. And it's just the funny thing is 2 months to win 16 games. That's what's going to be. That's what the best part is. 2 months of playoffs is going to be great.
And Jeff, and you and I have been part of it in terms of, you know, watching our teams, the New Jersey Devils, go through that. And not only do you see that the players go through it physically, but if you're a fan of whatever team you're rooting for, you physically go through it yourself, whether you're letting your beard grow in or whether you're watching these games because you want to make sure you have nothing scheduled because you want
to
see these games.
And to,
you
and to
live.
See the faces of the players when they lose and when they lose a round or they lose a game and they lose an overtime and like when they lose in three overtimes, they give it everything they got. And, you know, if you give it a shot, please, this is the best time to watch the playoffs is NHL playoff hockey. And you won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed because there's drama every night. And if you have a hot goalie at the right time, you have a shot. No matter if you're the 8th seed, the 5th seed, the 1 seed, you have a hot goalie. He can ride you to Stanley Cup Finals.
No doubt. And that's why I can't wait for these playoffs to go. I always love the first rounds of the playoffs because it's always exciting. As the rounds go in further, the teams dwindle, obviously, and you start seeing what team's really going to walk away with this. So right now, it's still wide open, in my opinion. But again, you never know what team is going to get hot. Right now, it's the Rangers, but you never know what team's going to get hot at the right time. That's the biggest unpredictability of hockey too. Most likely in hockey, unlike maybe the NCAA tournament, you have your Cinderella team. You have
Kentucky. What happened?
Yeah, you have a team that's on fire, and you don't want to play them because you know nothing affects them. But you know, speaking of playoffs, and I can't believe I'm the one segueing through this one.
Are you going
to
bring this up?
Yes, oh, unfortunately, I'm going to. But you know, the NBA season is finally over. Thank goodness. And I say that jokingly. You know, the NBA. You know, there were some pretty good games this season, but right now the regular season is over. And now, like I said, it was always about positioning. We knew what teams were going to end. We were just kind of waiting to see what the 7th, 8th.
Well, we didn't know about the 8th seed in the East, and we didn't know about the 8th seed in the West.
We were waiting for those positions during the last couple of games of the season, and now it's all set. We have the playoff lineup, Jeff. And when you look at this playoff lineup, we talked about the Rangers and the NHL. This is the team. It's theirs to lose. Do we have a team like that in the NBA?
To me, in the West, it's the Warriors. I think that they've had a great regular season. You got the Splash Brothers and Curry and Klay Thompson. I think that team just has a lot of firepower. They play defense. Their offense is a beautiful thing to watch. I know I'll be watching them when they play because they're just a fun team. You can't count out the Spurs because the Spurs, up until yesterday when they could have had the number 2 seed, they fall all the way to the 6th seed and play the Clippers. Okay, but before that, they went all the way up to the 2 seed, and they were playing like the Spurs, beating the Warriors, and I think that's the only team that can beat the Warriors is the Spurs. I think they're going to be a tough matchup if they play now, because now you don't know what's going to happen with the Spurs and Clippers. But up until yesterday, I thought the Spurs were really, really had an opportunity to go back to the finals, but now I don't know. They have a tough road now. Probably the toughest matchup in the West is going to be the Clippers and Spurs. We'll see where that goes, but I think that the Warriors are going to be the team that makes it. And I would say in the East, you got to go with the Cavaliers. You got to go with Cleveland. I mean, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and we'll see what Kevin Love does, but I think they're just going to be too much for the Hawks.
It's amazing how the Cavs get all the love, and like the Atlanta Hawks are number one in the East. They've been number one for the longest period of time.
Yeah, they've been there the whole year. They've struggled the last month of the season. I think they ended up like below 500, or I think at 500 to end the season. I just think not that many people believe in them. I think they believe they may be a good regular season team, but after that, you never know. But hey, listen, you know they're going to beat the Nets in the first round. It's all about the second round, and what's going to be great is that we're probably going to get a Cavs and Bulls matchup in the second round, and that's going to be great. So what we thought was going to be a great first round in the Western Conference, with everything that happened last night, and the matchups aren't that attractive, but in the East, they're just not attractive whatsoever. And you look forward to the second round when you get the better matchups, but I'm going to say Golden State and Cleveland will be your NBA Finals. And again, we're going to dissect it and preview it. We have 2 months of this as well. So again, we're in the playoff season in the NBA and NHL. So a lot of stuff to talk about now here into the future. But we talk about playoffs here on the High Spot, our 10th episode. And we're talking about playoffs.
1-0. Exactly. Time flies. And now we're in playoff time. So it actually gets more exciting, more intense, more enthusiastic, more. What's the word I'm looking for, Jeff? Help me.
Oh, it just...
That's right, don't worry about it.
Everything just comes a blur. Everything just becomes a blur because everything starts happening. You get into the summer months with baseball. You start getting into the playoffs. You start getting into NBA, NHL. It leads into the summer. And just a lot of stuff. And then, of course, the draft is coming along, so it's going to be a very, very, very busy time for us here at the High Spot Podcast. So a lot of stuff going on, too, here. Yep,
that is on the Twitter. And let me throw my 2 cents in here. For the NBA, you're right. It's the playoffs. See, like, my dramatic pause there?
No. I love it.
And anyway, but it is the playoffs. And what excites me about this is you're like how the Spurs, they could have been number two. But again, as much as this is a difficult road for them, you can't not count on the Spurs. I mean, you can't count them out on anything right now. And how amazing would this be, right? The San Antonio Spurs face Los Angeles Clippers. It's going to be an intense rot. It's going to be an intense series. Still don't like the series and how it goes, by the way. The matchups and how it goes, like the number-wise, like one here, two here, you know, things like that.
Yeah, 1-8, 2-7, 3-6, 4-5.
No, I'm talking about the series and how it plays. Like, you know how, like, in NHL, folks, it's usually the home team with the best record, two games at home, then two on the road, then back and forth. But for traveling purposes, the NBA does it a little differently.
Oh, no, they changed it now. For the NBA Finals, it's now back to 2-2.
Oh, thank God, because to me, that was, like, the worst.
Yeah.
If you lost your first game at home, you're done, basically, in the NBA Finals.
Or if you're the road team, there's no way you win three games in a row at home. It's really tough to do that.
Exactly. So the pressure, it's both ways. Yeah. Pressure's on the away team and
really
the home
tough
team.
To do that. I'm glad that the NBA got away from that. But again, NBA, NHL, a lot of stuff to talk about.
Well, I'm not done yet. And the Spurs and the Clippers. The Spurs and the Clippers, that's a great matchup. Second round, Cavaliers, Bulls. That would be awesome if they meet themselves in the second round. All the hoopla would be about Derrick Rose, LeBron James,
a lot of
Tim Duncan,
there, yeah.
Chris Paul. Can you get out of the first round, for God's sake? Can you make it to past the Western Conference Finals? Blake Griffin, how many more years has he got left in him to be doing this until he wants to go to another team? All that stuff happening. I can't wait to see it. That's actually exciting me about the NBA, all these little storylines that you only get, whether it be in the NCAA tournament, whether it be in the
postseason,
that's where you get it.
Postseason rocks. It rules.
It does. What rules right now, believe it or not, we've been talking about NFL, we've talked about NHL, we've talked about NBA. God help us, we've talked about the NBA. Baseball's back, man.
Oh, baseball, opening day.
We're 2 weeks into the season now, and it still doesn't feel, for me, it still feels like spring training.
And your first take from the season, what, anything catches your eye so far?
That Matt Harvey is the man right now.
Really? Are you believing in Matt Harvey?
I wouldn't say I believe him in terms of how long he's going to last this season because it's such a long season, but I think in terms of that intensity, we talked about earlier in the segment about certain players fitting your organization that are kind of that example, lead by example type of guy. To me, Matt Harvey's that kind of guy. Although he's not an everyday player, he gives that team an identity in terms of, listen,
he's a leader on that team. I don't want to hear about David Wright, who's hurt again. Wow, what a surprise. But Harvey's the leader of that team. They go by what Harvey does. And the perfect example is against the Phillies. And the Phillies pitcher beans Wilmer Flores, beans Michael Kadire. I'm not going to say beans him, hits him, but hits him in the wrist, pitches them inside. And what does Matt Harvey do? He knows he's got to there defend his team. And it doesn't hit hard, but hits Chase Utley in the back. And Chase Utley knew. And I'm just saying, that's a Matt Harvey. Matt Harvey, I wish Matt Harvey was on our team when the whole Roger Clemens fiasco happened. Because Roger Clemens would be, paying for what he did. And not that little behind the back throw that Sean Estes did back in the day. But, I mean, just Matt Harvey. And you saw the documentary, I made you watch it and sit through it with Matt Harvey, The Dark Knight. I mean, awesome
is Jeff,
that?
Yes, Jeff brought me in, and he was like, hey, check this out. I'm going to watch The Dark Knight. I'm like, oh, great. I haven't seen that movie in such a long time. I love Christian Bale. Oh, my, I love that trilogy that Christopher Nolan does. Yeah, let's go watch The Dark Knight. I haven't seen it in so long. The Joker, Heath Ledger, maybe
Boy.
The Dark Knight Rises.
Boy, was he in for
a
surprise.
And my God, was I close to smacking Jeff across the head. I was like, are you bringing me in for this crap, I said? Are you serious? A ripoff of The Dark Knight, they even had the music in the background. It wasn't the same thing because I'm sure it was copyright infringement. But you're going to bring me in for this? But I have to admit, I sat there. After I finished hitting Jeff in the back of the head, I was like, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to watch this. I'm going to give it a chance. And, kudos to – and this is another thing that I love about film, how you edit something, creating something out of nothing. They made that feel like it was a trailer to a movie.
Yeah,
Matt Harvey. And great job by ESPN for doing that documentary. I love the 30 for 30 series. We even talked about
it. E60.
E60, okay, I'm sorry. Well, E60, 30 for 30. Both of them make great documentaries. I mean, we even talked about the whole Christian Laettner thing. We love that. But yes, this was a great E60 for ESPN, a short little documentary. Man, can you believe that that was 30 for 30?
Oh, man.
How much? I'm sure I could watch that longer. What if I told you that I wasn't just a pitcher?
I was the Dark Knight.
I was a symbol.
The savior of Gotham.
But great job. And, it gave you another side of Matt Harvey because I think for the most part, and I'm sure, Jeff, you would agree with me because you're a Met fan, he's been kind of misunderstood. He's the kind of guy, but he's the kind of guy who beats to his own drum. He doesn't really care about what other people say, and he'll do what he wants.
And he's not afraid of the big spot.
And that's the kind of attitude you need, and especially when you're playing in New York. And Matt Harvey has it. And like you said, you know, he's a leader on this team. David Wright can't be a leader if he's on the DL. Oh, wait, he's on the DL again, isn't he? It's just like he's not an everyday player, but he can be the face of it. But the one thing I disagreed from the doc, from the little E60 documentary, Jeff, is that, you know, everybody's like, oh, can he be the next Jeter? You can't be the next somebody. You have to be yourself.
Be the next Matt Harvey.
Exactly.
And then,
or Mike Garvey, either one.
And then 15 years from now, someone will be like, are you the next Matt Harvey? But be Matt Harvey. Don't be Derek Jeter. Don't be anybody else here in New York.
Oh,
be,
bro,
don't
bro,
be, don't
bro.
Don't be Mickey Mantle.
Bro. Nobody can be Derek Jeter.
No, nobody can be Derek Jeter.
Because he did it his way.
Did it his way. Did you see the Frank Sinatra documentary?
No, I didn't get a chance to. I saw it. It's on demand in my house.
Guys, check that out. If you guys have HBO.
I can't listen to that song anymore without thinking of Derek Jeter, though.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, well, some you associate with the player. And that commercial last year.
Well, what do you associate that song with? Or is it just Frank Sinatra?
Before it was Frank Sinatra, but now it's Derek Jeter. He did it his way. And Harvey's doing it his way, too.
You as a Mets fan, I mean, I'm a Yankee fan, right? I have nothing to look forward to this season, the way things are being done right now. And not that the team's bad.
A-Rot.
But it's not that the team's bad. It's just that they're so bad that anything they do, you just hope they're a 500 team. And it's funny how it's flipped around. The Mets have actually improved themselves. And I remember you and I, this is similar to the Jets. We were discussing
taking
this several
back to
years
town,
ago.
Baby.
Exactly. The little brother is finally taking over. You
slowly
know,
but surely.
Just like I'm taking over the show. I'm joking. No, I'm not. But it's completely turned. All the moves that we thought.
Not completely, but I think it's turning. It's turning. It's
well, we've now seen at this point the like you said, the actual movement now, all these little things that are kind of annoyances to Mets fans. Like, oh, you're not spending any money. You're not doing this. How could you not re-sign this guy? You know. And this points to another great point of how difficult it is to be a general manager. Look, it now seems to be kind of the forefront of now this is the map of how we want to do it. And it's kind of
the
forming.
Template.
The template. The puzzles. The pieces are finally being put together.
Two things here. Okay, you're in New York. I love that. Flip the hands. There's two things here in New York. If you don't spend the money, people say, yeah, we'll be patient. That's a lie. Because New York wants win now. They want results now. And the Mets have been stubborn, and they've done it their way. They've done it through the farm system and the draft and all that, and signing serviceable players, not signing big contracts. And they've done it that way, and it's turning. But there's two things here in New York, okay? One is you become a good team when you get the pitching. And I don't care what else happens. Pitching, pitching, pitching. And I know people wanted to trade a couple some pitchers to get it back for the Mets. Look where the Mets are now. Zach Wheeler got hurt. Henry Mejia suspended 80 games for PEDs. So you can never have enough pitching. And the Mets stuck to their guns and they kept the pitching. So one thing is pitching, pitching, pitching. And the second thing is, you know when you become a good team? The games that you're not supposed to win, the games that you would lose 2 years ago, you start winning them, you're turning. You're turning into that good team. Perfect case, a couple hours ago, Mets gave up a lead. End up winning the game. So when you start doing those two things, you start becoming a good team.
Yeah, I would say that, and also the fact that if you lose the lead, a good team doesn't panic.
Well,
they still believe that they're going to go in and win.
Trying to categorize in the same aspect where the games that you're not supposed to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah, I always see it from teams like the Mets now, like you were talking about. I saw part of that game. They've blown the lead, and at those situations, you look at teams like it looks like they're gonna collapse.
And a questionable call too.
Yeah,
a questionable call, and some teams that don't have that mental capacity
can't overcome that
hurdle.
The Mets are showing great promise. The Yankees, who knows what's gonna happen with them? But again, it's only been 2 weeks into the season, and I guess if you're both the Mets and the Yankees, you just hope that your players stay healthy to give yourself a chance to be competitive. And it's all about that same thing we've been talking about. The whole theme of this show is the postseason.
Yeah.
That's where you want to you make or break, where legacies are made, careers are broken. Wait, that's WrestleMania. I'm sorry. Oh, it is the postseason,
I have to,
too.
I have to put in wrestling in there.
Always. I have to.
When we come back, we'll play quick hits. We will ask Brian whether he paid his taxes or not. No. Quick Hits. The segment where I ask you questions randomly and you ask.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's been so long.
You ask or you give your opinion and you ask, you know, me to fire back with a reaction to your usually off base and just comical responses to my questions. But, you know, we don't have to play it. If you don't want to, if you're not in the mood.
If I can hit you, I would want to play.
Well, no, Quick Hits doesn't literally hit me.
Jeez. All right, I guess we'll do it then. Fans seem to like it. Why not?
All right, so we'll do that then. And maybe I'll ask if you paid your taxes or not. Okay.
Sounds good.
He was in the high spot. Jeff Martin, Brian Berger. Quick Hits when we come back. Hits! You like that? Hits!
We are back in the high spot. It's now time to play Quick Hits here with Jeff Martin. I'm Brian Berga. Make sure you catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. Jeff, please, for God's sakes, fire away because I am so looking forward to these Quick Hit segments, even though I can't hit you.
Hey. I told you, it's not literally here. It's just a figure of speech. Quick Hits doesn't mean you got to hit the announcer, dude. But with that, is that a little clap for me? A little jeer? Anyways, we're talking about the NBA, and we're talking about what are the top-selling jerseys.
Oh, God. Brian, I would the like NBA to ask again.
You. Oh, sure, yeah. I'm going to hit you with the NBA here.
Maybe like the top-selling jerseys from the NHL, top-selling jerseys from the NFL.
Because nobody
Why
cares.
Why is always the NBA?
Because nobody cares about a guy you can't pronounce in the NHL.
Still matters to me, damn it.
So.
I can't even spell the regular names in the NBA.
Who do you think would be top number one?
Sidney Crosby. No, I'm joking. I would stink Alexander Ovechkin.
Oh, I'm talking about the NBA.
Oh, I thought we were talking about NHL.
No,
I thought you finally came to your senses.
I have no idea who the number one is. And then all this work, research that I've done is for naught if you're going to ask me about the hockey.
Real quick, I'll talk to the NBA. What do you think is the best-selling jersey right now? Don't say Ilya Kovalchuk.
In the NHL?
You can take a guess.
I'm going to say... You know, the funny thing is, there's so many talented players that I can't think of one. Sidney Crosby.
Okay.
And I'm not saying I can't think of one right now. I'm just thinking I don't know who's popular right now.
What would be popular in mind would be Sidney Crosby.
Sidney Crosby and Ovechkin and
Henrik Lundqvist.
Well, maybe I don't know. I don't know if he's national though.
I think in New York you're always national. But going now back to NBA, are you kidding me? LeBron James, he's got to be the best top-selling jersey in the world. I mean, this is our version of our... And can you imagine that, Jeff? How lucky are we? And, you know, boo-hoo on you guys. And you guys, you know, when I'll tell my kids, you know, back in my day, we got to see Michael Jordan. And now we've probably seen the best version.
We got to see real basketball, okay? 90s basketball.
The best version this year of what Michael Jordan would have been, LeBron James. How lucky are we? LeBron James is the best-selling jersey right now, in my opinion.
Ding, ding, ding. You are correct, sir. And number two, would you happen to know who number two is?
Stephen Curry.
Yes.
I just took a shot.
And
I keep saying folks? No, I have not.
And number three.
Kevin Durant?
No. Amazingly, no. It's a person who hasn't played most of the year, who's on a crappy team, and is... really up there now in as far as
Anthony Davis?
No. I'm talking about
who's
Pelicans,
injured for?
Pelicans are in the playoffs, but I'm talking about a really superstar who hasn't played a lot this year, who's been on a really crappy team in LA.
I was going to say Kobe Bryant.
Yes, yeah. Kobe Bryant, the Black Mamba.
Blake Griffin.
Black Mamba still on top of the player jerseys. So Steph Curry, again, the Warriors to me are the team. In the West.
What's your jersey right now? Would you wear Stephen Curry?
Oh, yeah.
Stephen Curry.
We were in California. I was looking for some kind of shirt. I wasn't going to buy a jersey because they're
I knew that's what you were looking for.
But I was looking for a Golden State Warriors shirt.
They did have some.
Yeah, no, of course we're in California. They definitely must have a Golden State Warriors shirt. But I was looking for something that caught my eye, but I really didn't.
I thought you were going to get it right because they had like those cheap imitation jerseys. Like,
not even the jersey.
One.
I was going to get the t-shirt. The T that has like the number and the back name. Something like that.
I thought I saw some of those in the malls.
Yeah. So, no, definitely represents. Stephon Curry is just, you know, a great shooter, just is the perfect, I guess, NBA player as far as like that the NBA would like to market. So.
I'm surprised he didn't buy like a. I'm sure because we were in San Jose in that area, like Santa Clara.
It's close to Oakland, though. Close to Oakland.
Close to Oakland. I'm surprised you didn't buy, like, I don't know if they're selling them because I didn't look in the lid stores, but like a LA Dodger hat or like a San Francisco Giants cap, you know? Yeah, little collectible souvenirs.
And I had enough souvenirs from WrestleMania. Okay. I mean, I'd try fitting all the stuff that we try to jam into our.
Plus, try to fit the world heavyweight title in.
Oh, that's right. We got the world heavyweight championship.
The WWE world
heavyweight. WWE world heavyweight championship. Yeah. That's another story for another day. We'll post that picture up there soon. But yeah, we went a little overboard. Now going into stuff. How about, did you see this on ESPN Silent Reporter? Who, let's be honest, if she wasn't hired because of her looks and her being blonde, how about ESPN sideline reporter Britt McHenry berating a parking lot, a toll lot employee, okay, basically making fun of her weight, her teeth, her job, everything. And you know what it does to me? It just, first of all, what a bitch. That's the first thing I say. Bitch. And you know what? I don't care.
Say it like you mean it.
I don't care. Because I don't care how spunky and how joyful she looks on the sideline from now on, I have this video that shows me who she really is. And what bothers me the most is people who want to get into this business, okay? People who love sports, okay? We're here and we would hey, if we could work for free in a sideline for a bit, we would, okay? But she has all the ability because let's be honest here, okay? It's what she looks like, okay? You can pick somebody out of the lineup and they can do the same job as she does on the sidelines, but because she's blonde and attractive, she's where she's at, let's be honest, and that's the
truth.
And
she has a college education.
And that's the truth. But again, it just, I don't care, whatever she does ever in her life, this video is going to show me who she really is and what she really thinks of herself and other people.
I'm sure the people she work with know who she really is. But again, it's what you show, you present yourself on the screen, and she, you know, is obviously a very attractive woman. But you know, I can kind of relate to her, Jeff. I got to be honest with you because I deal with the same situation over and over again. People come and they berate me, and they're constantly like, "Oh, that you're Brian Brigger from the High Spot. Oh my God, can I get an offer?" And I am so tired. I'm exhausted. I mean, it's like 5 a.m, and I'm walking to the train, and like they're trying to sell it on eBay. It's sometimes you reach a boiling point, but no, never once in that time, Jeff, have I ever snapped at somebody or ever used my high level of education as an excuse of why you're miserable at what you do. My thing is, if you're miserable at what you do, you have nobody to blame but yourself.
She's not miserable at what she does. She's just stuck up and she's flaunting what she does and thinks she's better than everybody. That's to me what her problem is. She thinks she's better than everything and she needs to be catered hand in, you know.
Then why can't you relate?
Huh? Well, no, I don't have an ego like that, but I think also it's on the way you're raised. I think me, you would be humble and we'd appreciate superstardom and we'd appreciate what we have. And I just don't think it's in us, me or you, to berate anybody and make them feel less because we've been there. We've done that. We've done stuff people don't like to do. You know,
we still do it.
Yeah, and we still do it. And I just don't think our heads would ever be so far up our asses that we'd act like that towards people.
No, again.
I mean, yeah. I have a temper, but, I mean, you know, not like that where I'm going to call out somebody like, you know.
Oh, yeah, I've seen your temper before. It's not a fun sight, folks. You know, spit flies all over the
disgusting. I know.
No, we all have the temper. But, again, yeah, you're right, Jeff. She shows she's a stuck-up, self-centered, spoiled little brat. And, you know, to go about and saying how you're miserable at your job and I got college education, maybe you need to lose some weight. I mean, it not only shows the lack of intelligence, let alone she has a college degree.
And respect for education. Other people.
Yeah, not just respect for other people, but just the juvenile responses she has just shows the level of maturity this person has, which is none. And you're right. Unfortunately, now in this type of media that you and I are in, Jeff, it comes to the point where, hey, I'm all for equal rights, equal values. Everybody has a fair shot to do whatever they want. Gender, race, doesn't matter to me, right? But when you blatantly see people, whether you see them on TV or you hear them on the radio and people say that I have a sexy voice, thank you, Lisa Ann, still doesn't, it shouldn't deter you from being who you really are. And she showed blatantly that she's probably somebody who got away with her looks all the time.
Let's be honest. I'm all for women.
Because you get away with so much. Jeff, you get away with so much. It pisses me off. Thanks. That, you know, you just wink your eyes and, you know, you gel up your hair and you get away with
bat
everything.
My eyelashes.
And you have that, like, that laugh that to me is so annoying, but yet it's so catchy and everybody loves it. You bring people from all over. Everybody follows you. Oh, yeah, we live in New York. Oh, we're just going to come to your town because we want to hang out with you. You get away with everything. I could only imagine why you would be a little sympathetic on this fact.
Well, I appreciate the compliment for once here on the show. If you guys hear the show,
dude,
I really don't.
You're such a liar.
But again, though, I just, to me, honestly, let's. I'm all for women's rights. I'm all for women in sports. But let's, again, let's be honest. I'm not trying to be sexist or anything like that. But she is where she is because of her looks. You can't tell me that somebody else can't do her job, if not the same or better than her. What is, there is nothing special. There are like 10 of her that I see everywhere on each sports network, and that's becoming the trend now.
Yeah, it's a popular thing, and unfortunately, we're born probably in the incorrect gender. But again, it is what it is. It, to me, ESPN, if they're smart about this, you know, she's not necessarily
spend it a week, but it should be more. To me, there's
not just that. I mean, I'm not about parading and having somebody be fired. But here's the thing: if you don't want to deal with this black publicity, this isn't like a Stephen A. Smith. This isn't a well-known person part of your ESPN team. I mean, if you want to deal with this, just get rid of it. It teaches her a lesson to the fact that what is she going to learn in a week? And then she gives a Twitter response to me is so. I mean, folks, if I made a mistake, either I'm coming here live on the air, or I'll go to Twitter, I'll go to Facebook, I'll put like a voice announcement, I'll post up a video on Facebook of my Facebook or on YouTube of myself talking to you, because the Twitter thing can be so overdone. You know, you don't know if it's her exact words, it could be your publicist. It's so fake in my opinion, and it's just a cop out in my mindset. So, you know, with that being said, I don't think she deserves to get more than a week. I mean, less than a week or even a week is just not doing it justice. She embarrassed herself, and more importantly, she embarrassed the company in which she works for, which has dealt with a lot of stuff, and it's probably the last heck they wanted to deal with. And you know what? Like you said, I'll see her from now on. She's going to be berated from this point forward. It's never going to go away.
No, she is who she is. And yeah, it might go away, but I always remember. I always remember that.
And you know what karma is? Karma is what she is. She's a bitch.
Bitch of the week, too. You. And tax season is upon us. Brian, did you pay your taxes?
I wish not to answer that on the count that this is going to go out to the masses of the billions of people that listen to us, and I don't need them to know my personal information of whether or not I do my taxes. Yes, Jeff, I do my taxes. Why don't you get the white light off of me, for God's sake? Okay, yes,
hey,
I did.
Hey, where were you,
I paid my taxes, huh?
Where were you on the day?
What's your Social Security number? What's your PIN number? 12345, isn't it?
Oh, great. Now I got to change it now. Thanks, Brian. Mm-hmm. So, Brian paid his taxes, which I'm happy about, and of course, I am a taxpayer myself, so of course I paid my taxes.
I think it's the most stressful thing, not because you go through the paperwork or you deal with the people that actually do your taxes for you. Now, I try to do my own, but I have somebody else that helps me, and man, that person just irks me every single time because it just, ugh. But anyway, I'm not going to dive into that, but you know what I'm talking about, Jeff. But not only that, is when you look at it and you're like, all right, this is how much I made. I'm getting how much taken away? You're like, what did I work all that for?
That's part. You want to be in America? You want to live in America? That's one
so
of the.
You're going to punish me for making more money. Okay, it makes a lot of sense.
Isn't this country grand? Exactly. And last but not least, look at this Adam Rose shirt. How awesome is this shirt?
Well, first put a shirt on.
You have not complimented me. And you have to wear a shirt here in the studios where we're at.
It's freezing in here.
What do you think?
Don't be a lemon, be a rosebud. Very nice shirt. Looks very comfortable. Nice. Is that 100% cotton?
Very nice. Very comfortable. Again, just very nice. I thought you would compliment it. I love your shirt here. Of course, your alter ego, Superman.
Yes. So I wear all the DC people, all the DC characters, all the wrestling gear. I'm always wearing it. I have the, you know, Chris Jericho pajamas, the onesies, and I have the bed sheets as well. So I am not ashamed to say, Jeff, you look sexy in that shirt, I have to say.
Again, I'm not a lemon.
And a perfect example.
I'm not a lemon, I'm a rosebud.
Yeah. Just make sure that when you leave this show, You know, just don't forget where you started, and you know, don't use your good looks. Don't use your good looks and forget about
you. We have a 2-year commitment. We have a 2-year marriage. I'm not going anywhere. You're trying to get rid of me?
I'm not getting rid of you. You're obviously, you know, with your hair all nice up goodness. And all cleaned up in the fancy shirt. You know, your hair is glistening right now. Thank you, in the studio light.
By Moody Barber Will. Thank you for the cut. Appreciate it.
That's what he is, Moody Barber
Will. He's Moody Barber Will. That's what he wants to be presented at when he comes on to our Voice to Voices segments when we talk about the world of professional wrestling.
Oh, I got to think. Barber. I know who you're talking about. Yeah. And he is a tremendous barber. I mean, if he makes my ugly mug.
Put up with me.
If he makes, exactly, puts up with you, and God, you know, he deserves a Purple Heart for that. But for the fact he's got, you got to fix my ugly mug every single time, every 2 weeks to do my hair. And I tell the truth, Jeff. Okay? I don't live in this fantasy world like you do. I tell the truth. I don't lie to the people of the High Spot folks that you're listening to. You can hit us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. Booyah. Don't put booyah. It's just at High Spot Podcast, folks.
That'd be a long handle right there.
It would be. But to fix my ugly mug is, God knows, it's a lot of work. And I ran into somebody I knew a long time ago, and sometimes you get out of touch with people. He was an old friend, and I wouldn't even consider him a friend.
Old friend slash douchebag.
Yes, a douchebag, basically. And you see him with his hair cut, and you're like, what's the point, man?
Oh, when you're losing your hair?
Yeah, what are you doing? I'm just, thank God I got hair. But
what our other friend, remember JR? He had the receding hair. He had the receding hairline, and he'd get his hair cut, and I would see.
Well, he
next
told me. He told me he finally got rid of that. Yeah. He finally got rid of.
No, he doesn't go anymore because what's the point of cutting two hairs? Like, it's like he had like the Homer Simpson. Like, whoa, what's the point?
Mm-hmm. Well, he got rid of that. He hasn't seen him in God knows how long.
Now, plus, just tell you, man, how old? Where does time go?
No, time goes fast because we're here on the show on the High Spot. Yeah. So it goes by
really fast.
We're
about to wind down too.
Yeah, and we're about to wind up quick hits. Let's just buy fast hits because it's gone by pretty fast.
Quick hits went kind of slow today, but Brian, thank you again. Great, great answers to my questions.
Awesome questions, and you're pulling those things that I've had. Jeff is the best at, you know, thinking of up a question and then immediately coming up with a follow-up. It's a gift of his. But folks, that was the High Spot segment, Quick Hits. Like I said, catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. And when we come back, we're going to do the segment in which Jeff and I really enjoy as well. We're going to be talking a little about Raw. Did a 2-week stint in Europe. We've God knows we've dived into WrestleMania enough. We'll be talking about things of that. We're talking about Ring of Honor and maybe some TNA. Who knows, folks? So stick around to the High Spot. Jeff Martin. I'm Brian Braga. That's what they call a teaser. You know what they call this?
Go back to you.
You know what they call this? You know what they call this? They call this going to a break. We'll be back right after this, folks.
Go. Get out of here. That Finn Balor intro, jeez, what a breathe!
It allows me.
Got to be quiet.
It allows me to harness my inner demon. And now that I came back from the bathroom, my inner demon is satisfied. And
you let that demon out.
I let the demon out. And now, with that being said, it is now time for our wrestling segment here on the High Spot. My tag team partner, Jeff Martin. I'm Brian Berga. I'm just trying a different voice here.
Yeah, welcome down. Welcome down here to South.
It wasn't a Western.
No, that doesn't sound Western to me.
What did it sound like?
It sounded Western and someone in their 60s in the West. Well, I'll tell you, come here. You know,
I'm not a young man, Jeff. I'm getting gray hairs, man. I'm up there, dude. I'm not young springtime no more. But folks, this is the wrestling segment here, and Jeff, I'll let you kick it off, man. Raw and SmackDown were taped and in the UK, and you know, I'm a harsh critic. What were your thoughts on the show?
To me, honestly, it was okay.
Okay, well, thanks, man.
Yeah, see ya. Bye, everybody. No. Let it. No. Are you coughing? You're right.
No, it just made me laugh.
Can we get him a water? No, no, not in the budget.
No, okay. Not at all.
Sorry. No. It was okay to the fact where, like, again, we see Kane, we see the Big Show attack Roman Reigns, we see Kane.
You already said Kane.
I know, we see Kane lose to Seth Rollins.
Then we see J&J security, and then we see Kane again.
Yeah, I mean, just it really centered around Kane and his dilemma about whether he should lay down for Seth Rollins. The best part of it was seeing Neville and Dolph Ziggler. That was a great match. Again, I'm not really high on Neville losing this much. After he beat Curtis Axel in his debut, he's lost now two in a row, Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler. Not a huge fan of that, but it is what it is. That's how they're going to push Neville. I'm not a big fan of, hey, listen, that's a creative. We're going to call you Neville, by the way, and take Adrian Neville. What's wrong with Adrian Neville? I don't understand.
I didn't have a problem with his name.
Neville. Neville sounds like, I don't know, it just sounds...
And I've heard a lot of people say, who cares about the name? The names aren't always a big deal. Because you and I had a big issue with Finn Balor. The name, yeah. Finn Balor.
Now it's growing on us.
Didn't really like it. Now it's growing on us. And then at the end of the day, it really depends on the individual. But for the fact that, and I know this is minuscule, I know it's not that big of a deal. Adrian Neville is one name, Neville. But what is it with the WWE, which I don't seem to understand, that they want so badly to have people have just one name? They don't have a last name. So we're going to change John Cena. Now he's going to be John. Antonio Cesaro is going to be Cesaro.
Actually, the funny thing is, I complain about Antonio Cesaro, but then now when you say Cesaro, now it catches.
I mean, it catches, but to me, I still know him as Antonio Cesaro.
Do you think
character.
The WWE fans are as just incompetent that they can't remember two names?
Yeah. It's a Big E Langston. It's Big E. And for God's sake, what does the E stand for?
Oh, Easy E.
Big Easy Langston?
Big Easy.
Really?
No, I'm not sure.
I mean, that would make sense.
That'd be a great trivia question. Nobody would get. You know how it was annoying? Do you remember that kid, though, that little kid that was answering all those trivia questions at NXT? He had to be like 10 years old, and he was beating all the adults.
He was answering a question like WrestleMania 3? WrestleMania 3. I'm like, he was not. Somebody was feeding him the answers. There's no way this kid,
eight, 10 years old.
Knows what happened at WrestleMania 2?
Oh, that was crazy, man.
I could tell that Fink was probably worried. I mean, we couldn't see from our vantage point, but Fink was probably giving him the answers.
How embarrassing it had to be for that 30-year-old guy that was up there. He ended up losing because he couldn't answer the question.
No, he did answer, but I guess he missed one. Uh-huh. I mean, that's a really tough question, but he gives the kid a question, like, who's the main event of WrestleMania 6, for example?
WrestleMania 20, who did Brock Lesnar fight? Was it Goldberg? I mean,
the way he emphasized it, he gives it away. But going back to the whole one name thing, I don't really understand what it means. What it emphasizes. I remember there's a point too where Vince McMahon so badly wanted certain people to change, whether they're Canadian from a different place, to change it to their residencies here in the United States because it would make them more American. Maybe the crowd would be more behind them, which I didn't think made any sense at all. I mean, if you're from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, or you're from Winnipeg, Manitoba, or you're from Saskatchewan, Wyoming, or you're from New York, or you're from Sacramento, California, or you're from Italy or Spain. I don't care where you're from. I'm trying to be global here. It didn't work. But I don't care where you're from. As long as you can perform and you're entertained, you can captivate the audience, that's all that matters to me.
I don't care who you are. As long as you
I know you don't care who I am. I'm talking about wrestling.
As long as you love me. I don't care where you are, where you're from. I don't care.
You're a very needy person, aren't you? You don't care who anybody is, as long as you don't care who the person is, as long as they love you or they say they do. But I my grade for Raw and SmackDown is basically, I would say, I would give it a C. Just, and the reason why I'm being so harsh on the grade is that, I love the European crowd. Now, granted, it's taped, so you lose the feeling of the live crowd atmosphere.
And they cut some of the chants for Cesaro. They change the audio on those things. Come on.
That's what annoys me. The editing and the very mere fact that it's so cookie cutter where they can manipulate things. But at the same token, it doesn't seem like they put their best A game, because those European crowds, whether you go to Japan or Europe or Italy or Spain or Ireland, those crowds are so into it and they're so hyper and they're so energetic. Why wouldn't you want to put the best matches out there? They use it more as like, oh, here's our product. Here's a couple matches. Enjoy, and we're done.
Talk about bringing your A game, and you mentioning letters.
I'm bringing my A game to the show.
How about WWE now? They schedule when they
tired after
do their schedule for tours, and they do their schedule for arenas and cities that they go to. They give them a letter grade, and I just want to know, you know what New York, Brooklyn, Newark, and Wildwood letters they got?
B?
No. A.
Really?
Yeah. Barclays Center, Madison Square Garden, Prudential Center, and the Wildwood Convention Center all got A's as far as the quality of arenas.
Well, I've never been to the Wildwood Convention Center, but, you know, Wildwood in that area is very nice. You and I have been there several times. It's beautiful.
I had one chance at ECW back in the day.
Yeah,
and that was all exciting. The rumors about they set fire to the crowd and they urinate on the people.
And what a great friend are you, right? We see a guy who's really muscular, looks like he's probably a wrestler, and Jeff wanted me to go up to this guy or walk beside him and say something, you know, offensive to a certain wrestler, thinking that maybe he would catch wind of it. Just to see how he'd react. Yes, he would react on me.
Who are we talking about here?
We were standing outside. There's this building, had like a huge monster truck. We see this big muscular guy, and then all of a sudden, we're little kids, and Jeff's like, hey, Brian, go tell that guy that, you know, Taz sucks. I'm like, okay. I have no idea who Taz is. I'm like, okay. Hey, Taz sucks. And, you know, I'm not hearing anything, and Jeff's prodding me. He's like, let's say it again to see if the guy would get a rise. Not rise in the improper sense, but a rise mean getting angry and upset or offended at what I said. And then I look back and I was like, that was a pretty mean-spirited and pretty douchebag thing to do, man.
I don't remember what you're talking about. I honestly do. And I'm pretty good at remembering stuff like that. I have no freaking clue what you're talking about. I'm lost. I am lost for words. I don't know where this guy's going with that. I have no idea.
He's got a horrible memory. This guy doesn't know what he had for breakfast last night.
How about this? How about the
Brisket? My mornings. It is morning now.
Well, how about the Briscoe brothers? They're still in negotiations with WWE NXT or Ring of Honor. And I think they're leaning more towards Ring of Honor just because I think they're going to pay them more. And I think that the Briscoe brothers have other stuff that they do outside of WWE that, in a way, would kind of like limit them from doing anything if they moved down to Florida. So, I mean, that was pretty interesting. And if you guys don't know the Briscoe brothers, and we probably have never mentioned them on this show,
we're mentioning them now.
Yeah, they are a tag team for Ring of Honor. And who is the
Jay Briscoe?
Jay Briscoe
is the
Jay Briscoe
Ring, is of the Honor Ring of Honor heavyweight champion. Heavyweight
champion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know too much about the Briscoe brothers. I do know who they are.
They're tough guys. They're tough. Very stiff in the ring.
Yeah, they're a combination. But what I mean is, I don't know them. I do know who they are. I just don't know enough about them in terms of their types of characters from what I've seen, because they've had a pay per view actually, and this was probably of last year, where they at Terminal 5, I believe, they're doing a pay per view.
I think early last year, yeah, you're right. I think it was more like,
They did a pay-per-view, and it was really big, and it heard some rumors that they're trying to get a TV deal in the metropolitan area. It would have given them more exposure. So if you're the Briscoe brothers right now, and I've seen Jay work, and the Briscoe brothers have this kind of, like you said, Rough Rider, like biker gang type
of
look.
They're not,
you
know, the exact
Dynasty
look. They're not the kind of look that I thought WWE would go for, but I guess there was interest enough by them to contact them, and I really think at the end of the day they're going to go back to Ring of Honor. And again, you guys should, like, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, you guys should really, really try these other wrestling promotions, because they're awesome. They're amazing. I mean, just the work ethic. And you see guys like Kevin Owens, you see guys like Seth Rollins.
Samoa Joe has gone back to Ring of Honor.
Yeah, and you see, you know, even Del Rio is now in Ring of Honor. You see a bunch of guys that. And here's the funny thing, too. A bunch of WWE guys now are basically in WWE, and they're like basically like in the top spots. And that's really good to see. I think it's totally great to see. Cesaro was in Ring of Honor. To see these guys now in the WWE have success, I think that's a great ground for WWE to get talent from in Ring of Honor. And I think they're working together for a while somehow. And again, I just think there's great alternatives if you don't like the WWE product and you are a fan of NXT, but you want to, I guess, test your palate into
the see what else is out there.
See what else is out there. There's a bunch of great ones. Bunch of great ones. And we will cover more of them as we go on with the show. On the 10th episode of the High Spot at High Spot Podcast. I mean, just 10 episodes.
Exactly. I mean, like, and you said before, we're going to be covering a lot more. We'll be covering TNA, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, WWE, NXT, also independent promotions in the area that Jeff and I are in, the New York metropolitan area. We'll be covering those things and bringing them to you folks. We've kind of been stuck on WWE a little bit just because it's something that's very current. It's something a lot of people can talk to and relate to because it's not nationwide. A lot of people see it. Speaking of that nationwide thing, you're right. I do believe the Briscoes will re-sign with Ring of Honor, but if you're smart and you're the Briscoe brothers, you'll probably take this to the 11th hour. You'll take this to the very end because you have to look at it from two sides. Put yourself in their situation, right? What do you want? Do you want national exposure? Do you want the ability? And unfortunately, you have to start over again. But you have the ability to have more exposure, have maybe the ability of making more money. You can make more money now, but your exposure, your length of terms of your platform, your level of shelf life kind of diminishes a little bit.
It totally depends, I think, on what you want to do. It totally depends. If they want to make money, if they want to have that national, global feel, to go to WWE. But if they're satisfied, they're happy, sometimes you don't have to go to the WWE. It's not always end-all, be-all to go there.
No, yeah, of course. And we've seen talent leave the WWE saying that they make just as much money on the indie circuit or any other promotion. I give you that. But then if you're Ring of Honor, you have to do everything you possibly can to keep them. Because if you were to lose them... And like we all know, the business is a circle. I know, but at this point right now, where you're trying to build this company into something right now, you'd like to keep your main guys, wouldn't you?
No, of course, everyone would like to keep their main guys because the competition. It's what makes everything go. I mean, you need the competition. You just can't have everything be WWE. And I think we've kind of made it all WWE, but we were in kind of WrestleMania season because we kind of caught this on towards Royal Rumble. And so on. So we were in WrestleMania mode. But
speaking of songs,
we were in WrestleMania mode. So I get it. But you know, now that you know, we are kind of in a lull.
I'm just saying it one more time.
You can take a look at my ego, right?
Take a swing at my.
You can take a swing at my. You know,
it's been 2 weeks, so now it's died down. Has it died down a little bit for you?
Yeah. You know, I have. I mean, look, I have great memories. To reminisce about, but you know, now
back to reality.
Back to reality, and now it's looking forward to WrestleMania 32. God willing, keep our fingers crossed. WrestleMania 32 is our next stop.
Jerry, we are RSVP in there.
But you wanted to, I know you before we come on, you wanted to make a point of the Jericho podcast. It was a couple weeks ago. He had John Cena. Look, you'll hear enough from me. I thought Jericho asked some good questions. He asked about the heel turn. He asked a couple funny stories from John Cena. And with Jericho, if you listen to his show, you know what you get. It's a bunch of stories, and he doesn't want to make it sound like an interview. He wants it like a conversation. So I get that. I think the conversation went well. And you, who wrote about it, about the Jericho podcast on BustedOpenNation.com, is where this author, because this is what Brian is. He's not a writer. He's an author because his writings are awesome. Just amazing. Very clever. If you get it, you know, very clever. So, Brian, I will let you tee off on Chris Jericho's podcast because you loving Chris Jericho seemed to have a little bit of an issue or maybe just something, you know, didn't sit well.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for complimenting me on the articles that I write for Bus Open Nation.
And it's not because,
here's
you know,
your $50.
It's not because I know you because, honestly, it is, I'm not going to lie, okay, it is probably the best is the best written pieces on that website, and they're very lucky to have you.
Well, we can all thank Queen Bee Mary Grade for posting those things, because yeah, God knows, God bless that woman, that I take those things to the limit sometimes, because they take forever and a lot of editing to make it easier on her, and she posts that stuff up for me, and you know, God bless her, and she's a big part of it for the website that they do, BustedOpenNation.com. Yeah, I didn't have a gripe with the show that was on the network. To me, like what I wrote in the article, you guys can catch it on there and read it too. I thought I blew Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast out of the water. He was very clever. He did a lot of funny, funny anecdotes with John Cena, and it was humorous, witty, Just like you said, it was a conversation, kind of like you and I are having, and it would just flowed. There's no stale moments. There's no trying to figure out, you know, what else to say. I said the problem I had was Jericho also has another podcast called Talk is Jericho on Podcast One. The gripe that I had, and it wasn't really a gripe, it was just something I thought was kind of humorous, and I was like, okay, well, you can spin it the other way around, is that Jericho had gone on, I forgot what episode it was, but you can catch it on YouTube. It was about the Hall of Fame. And he was talking about how he was so annoyed and so upset about all the people that were heckling and doing catcalls during the Hall of Fame. Granted, mind you, I understand. I mean, he brought the example that people were hooting and hollering when the Bushwhackers were out there and complaining like the Bushwhackers. Who are the Bushwhackers? They don't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. What did they ever do? And I have to admit that I was probably one of the first ones when I first started, like, the Bushwhackers. But then, when I saw them at the Hall of Fame, I saw them make their speech, and all the wonderful memories they had, I came to the realization that it's not about, you know, how many tag team championships you won. It's about the imprint you left on the business. I get it.
And one of my errors, and again, one of my errors was I thought too much into that, like you were saying about the championships. But they made the kids smile, they were relevant, and they had done other stuff before the WWE. They had won, I think, 18 world titles from New Zealand all the way up until they got here to the WWE. So that was wrong on my part, especially with Rikishi, too. I looked too much into the Hall of Fame as far as like a MLB Hall of Fame or a NBA or a any other kind of Hall of Fame and the resume and the requirements. That was wrong on my part. And I will say, you know, I will apologize here, too, because one thing I will do is I might get negative on who gets selected, but I won't ever heckle or boo, you know, just out of respect to them. Because, hey, they've done more in their careers than I could ever do. And, again, they deserve the respect. So I do want to put out there before you go back, I just do want to apologize to the post that I made about Rikishi and the Bushwhackers and anybody else, because, again, they're all well-deserved.
Yes, no doubt about that. I share those sentiments exactly, Jeff. You know, we gripe about who's in, and we think, oh, they don't deserve it. I mean, who are we to judge? We're not the ones who pick it. But in all defense, I think that's just a natural instinct, because if we look at sports, whether it be MLB Hall of Fame, the NHL Hall of Fame, the NBA, the NFL, sometimes we'll look at people and be like, you know, people be like, oh, you can't put a closer in there. Be the greatest closer of all time, like, for example, Mariano Rivera. You don't think he deserves to be in it? Oh, he's a positional player. Or what about one of the best punchers or kickers in the league? Oh, he's a kicker. You can't put him in the National Football Hall of Fame, and vice versa. It goes on and goes on. We all critique or as debate, fans and debates I think who deserves debate, to be in there.
I think debate and berate is a different thing.
Exactly. And the point I'm making here is that, you know, that happens, and Jericho's really annoyed by that, people, by saying that these smart aleck fans, which, you know, we consider ourselves smart aleck fans, were saying that. Now, to get to the point, he was saying, you know, that does not give you the right. When you're in a WWE event, where you buy a ticket for Raw, SmackDown, or pay-per-view, or whatever, a live event, you have every right to boo, holler, berate, scream, yell, whatever you want to do. You have that right. But for the Hall of Fame, you don't. You pay respect to these people who have paid their dues and have sacrificed for the business that he was so passionate about. And this is the first time ever, Jeff, and you have to listen back and hear it if you had a chance to listen to it. First time I ever heard Jericho be very passionate about the business. He's always said he loves it. But again, he's, in my opinion, he's always said, well, there are two things I wanted to do. I wanted to be a wrestler and I wanted to be a rock star. You know, wrestling is part of my life. But he was like, this is my life. This is what I love. This is what I kill myself for, and I sacrifice my body. He was very passionate about it. And the point, getting to the point here, he said something like, you don't have the right to do those kind of things at a Hall of Fame when these people deserve the respect that they're supposed to be given. If you don't like it, leave, get out of it. You don't belong in the Hall of Fame to see it. It's a privilege to be there. Just because you bought a ticket doesn't mean you have the right. Okay, and give the example, if you were to go see the Broadway show Jersey Boys, you bought your ticket, you sat in the chair, and then all of a sudden, if they're singing, you know, Jersey Boys, Sherry, and all of a sudden you jump up and you scream and holler during the song, you know, and the show, or I hate this song, or boring, same old thing, you know, they would stop the show, the ushers would come and escort you out and kick you out, and people in the stands who paid their ticket to would tell you to shut the hell up. True. Then Jericho said, if you ever did that to me, if I was in the Hall of Fame, and I'm not trying to take this out of context, folks, okay, but he said, if I was in the Hall of Fame and you would heckle me, he said, I would get up off the platform, walk up to your chair, and smack you in the face. And he said, I'm not joking. No, he said it in a very serious, maybe he was high in temper. He's like, I said, I'm not joking. I would slap you in your face. And it got me thinking, okay, I get he's heated, but then what gives you the right to do that? just because I paid my ticket, and again, I don't have the right to boo you, what gives you the right to physically put your hands
take
on
it from, take it from both sides, though.
I do take it from both sides. That's where it just
ends. The money, they can boo, heckle, that's fine. And again, Chris Jericho can take it for what he's worth. I, at the end of the day, don't think he'll do that because you can't reach
it. No, I even joke with you. I'll be the first one to do it, and then I'll be like, I got slapped by Chris Jericho. Yeah. Thank God I'm on Twitter, it's whatever.
Finally, I get to meet Chris Jericho.
Exactly. He slapped me in the face.
It's the only way, because there's some other people that, you know, that know you like, that you like them, but they, you know. They
exactly. And that's another slap in the face. No pun intended. But that was my gripe for him. I was like, yeah, I understand you're passionate about it. I get it. But, you know, sometimes you get so heated that I don't, if you were to luckily ever have him on the show, he'd probably say, I don't regret saying that. But at the same time, that's taken a little to the extreme.
Brian, I think that it's his show. I think he was passionate about it. And again, I haven't heard it yet, which I will hear it. I just think he was just passionate, and I think he said it, but in down deep, I don't think he really meant it. I think it's kind of a warning that if he ever does, and he know, you've been forewarned, this is the attitude that I'm going to go about it. But I don't think at the end of the day he's going to do that. But again,
well, if Jericho doesn't believe he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, then he's a damn fool. But at the same time, if he doesn't think that he's in the Hall of Fame, standing up there, whoever's been, it's been Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, you know, everybody's been up there, legends. And you've heard catcalls. Some idiot goes out there and says it. You know, if Jericho's not expecting it or knows that's going to happen, especially now that he said it, then, you know, he's just lying to himself. But it was, I was excited to see him that passionate about it.
So no issues with the podcast, though?
No, no issues with the podcast. I only had issues with those comments. And
what company guy that you told me that you think he's a company guy?
I told you that's what people were saying about him. Not that I was thought of him.
You didn't think he was a company guy?
I didn't think he was a company guy. To me, honestly, he's more focused on his music with every right he should be, because he's done everything he's wanted to in the business.
I think he wears a scarf now, because I love the way he just wears a scarf.
Yes, I now wear a scarf the way Chris Jericho does. Not to copy him, but actually protects your neck.
It doesn't have to be in the winter. Yeah, it doesn't have to be in the wintertime, because he wore like a just the regular shirt with a V-neck, and he put the scarf in there as a piece. I loved it.
And he said it one time in an interview, which I caught, and I said, you know, I'm going to try. He's like, he's done that. Ever since he did that, he's never gotten sick, because he just protects his neck. So he'll wear like a short sleeve shirt and be fine. So I'm going to start doing that now.
Protect your neck if you ever see Jericho in person, because he might want to slap you.
Well, no, I got to protect my face. But, you know, he knows that, you know, what goes around comes around. And, you know, I'll miss, but I'll go out swinging. But, again, I have no problem with Chris Jericho. I think he's a tremendous human being. Everything he's accomplished, he's just an example of what we want to reach in our certain level, too.
Perfect
so
example. He motivates me to be the best I can be.
Exactly. I just had, like, the question, the comment. I'm sure maybe it was taken, you know, to the point that he was very passionate. But, again, if that's how he feels, that's how he feels. I got no problem with it. But in terms of a company man, he is a company guy. He's all WWE all the time. But at the same time, that never negates him from his personality of being a person in terms of asking the questions that people want to know and not being afraid to ask them and not being afraid of retribution. And, you know, people were like, oh, he's not going to ask. He's going to be company friendly. He wasn't company friendly.
No, and I think the only difference between his podcast and Steve Austin is that Steve Austin. Other than that, I mean, Chris Jericho has his own way of doing it, and it's fine. It worked well. I think him and Cena really had, you can tell they're really friends.
I even wrote in the article that Chris Jericho's the perfect example of what a host should be.
Yeah.
He's the perfect example of how he makes it very calm and relaxing for the most importantly, and what you and I try to do when we interview people, make the interviewee feel comfortable.
You know what it's time for though right now?
Your mail?
No. Maybe soon, maybe one day.
We'll get those.
One day we'll bring it back. And
well, we don't even need viewer mail, folks. Just hit us up on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. Ask us questions. We'll post them on, and then we'll post them on during the episode and answer your questions.
We'll talk about it.
On air.
We'll discuss it. We're not going to be, you know, you guys first. Our topics later. But you know what's time to do? So we'll work on episode 11.
Is it time to work on episode 11? We're not even done with episode 10.
No, we're ready to wrap it up here.
All right, if we are. What are you looking forward to this weekend?
What am I looking forward to? I'm finally looking forward to maybe we can catch Fast 7.
That's going to be emotional.
What else?
You've been playing that song for the tribute to Paul Walker.
Very emotional.
It's an emotional song. There'll be many tears shed.
There were tons of tears.
It's a long movie too, isn't it?
2 hours and some odd minutes.
Yeah. We added an extra 45 for trailers. Yeah.
What was that story you're telling me about the trailers for Batman and...
Yes, folks, this Sunday will be the official reveal, and the internet's been blocked on this. From a year from now, Batman versus Superman, they'll be posting a 2-minute trailer, at a theater near you. The only way you can get it is to get reservations. Movies you can't order it.
What movie is it for?
Oh, I said Batman versus Superman.
What movie do you have to sit through just to watch a trailer?
Oh, you're not sitting through a movie. It's just you're going to the theater just to see a 2-minute trailer. That's it. You're paying to go see a 2-minute trailer.
Wow.
And requesting reservations. And seats are limited from what I heard.
Wow.
So this just shows you, Jeff, and this is, you know, it's funny how Jeff and I were actually listening to a Kevin Smith thing where he was talking about The Dark Knight and how emotional he gets. He's like,
I'm not going to make
it. You know, and we laugh, but at the same time, Jeff made the comment that he understands the symbolism because you live vicariously through the characters that they kind of just, you know, capture a certain sense, whether they bring you back to your childhood or whether they just encompass some form of morale or characteristic that you enjoy, and you just hang on to it. And perfect example, Batman vs. Superman, a year from now. They're probably done with filming. They're doing post-production, which is going to take forever. But a year from now, 2016, the summer of 2016, it's going to come out in theaters. And now you're going to get a 2-minute trailer that people are probably waiting out line outside sleeping in the theaters for 2 minutes. That's how much they love this. I love it too, but I'm not going to wait out for 2 minutes. For WWE, maybe, but for this, I'll wait.
How about you? What are you looking forward to? I almost turned ghetto there. What you look forward to, yo?
How you doing?
What are you looking forward to, yo? Oh my god! I went into like a different.
You went back persona. To your 1999 days.
Yeah. So what are you looking forward to?
Honestly, I had a day off. Yeah, I had a day off. Yesterday yesterday, and it was amazing, and I'm hoping to have more days like that. I'll be working during the weekend.
And you're looking forward to dumping your work on me this weekend. I thought I was gonna have a day off, and he's dumping his workload.
Nobody's twisting your arm. No, I could do both at the same time.
No, I do it because I owe you and I care, and that's why I do it.
You owe me more than one.
No, trust me.
But, I'm looking forward to hopefully not working too hard over the weekend. And again,
a note of how many times he owes me. That's good.
Yes, a long list. A never-ending book.
And just one more thing before we go. I know we should have gone 10 minutes ago. Listen, and I'm going to harp on this, and I'm not bitter or nothing like that, but did you see who won the Fantasy Phenom this year for WFAN? I saw 2 seconds of Mike Francesa's show, which it's hard to find him on TV because he's on Fox Sports 55. But the guy that won was the most
55
nervous.
Latino?
On the Cinquenta Cinco. Mm-hmm. But the funny thing is, the guy who was on there was so freaking nervous and was so shell-shocked by the whole day, he ended up winning. There was two other people that are 10 times better than he was, but he ended up winning. And I think what they want is, they want some weird-looking kid who wears flannel and you can tell lives in the basement and kind of has this kind of voice. That's what they're looking for. And to me, it's just there are other people deserving, and I'm just surprised and shocked by the decision.
More importantly, somebody named Jeff Martin was more deserving.
Hey, come on. Yeah, maybe I was. But still, it's just the choice of this fantasy phenom. And I think his name is Patrick whatever, but you'll hear him soon. On the fan again, but wow, just come on. I mean, please.
No, I didn't end up watching it. I kind of, Jeff and I participated in that, and we got destroyed. We didn't even get past the first round. That's how bad we are, folks. And I didn't bother watching it. Didn't really interest me. But at the same time, hey, kudos to the guy there. We know what we do is entertain. We know what we do we enjoy, and we do it to the best of our abilities.
They're not ready for us. They're not ready for what we have to offer.
Everybody has their own view of what they want.
They want the basic style. They want, you know, this. But that's not what we want to deliver. We want to deliver a different alternative, a different viewpoint. And, you know, when they're ready for it, hey, then maybe, you know, we'll would advance. But still, just very, you know, not hating, but just the decision they made. There was other people that were more deserving to me.
No question.
Sorry, I don't mean to rip you like that, but just telling you the truth.
Folks, you've been listening to The High Spot. Again, catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. For Jeff Martin, I am Brian Berrigan. Jeff, thank you. I'll see you next week.
Yes, you will.
So long, folks. Episode 11 coming up soon.
Folks!